then we are seriously fighting a losing battle. And this is not only about the quality, there's another thing, job creation. If you shut the small business, then poverty goes higher into villages. Because the people who get hired by these barber shops are people who are not necessarily be marketable in the open market, you know.
Question.
So now I'm actually making a comment and saying that according to my understanding and my life experience as a person who lives in the village where business have collapsed because of the big boys coming in, this reflects my reality in my village.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to try to bring back to what we are here supposed to be, and that is mergers and the effect of mergers on this. My first question is, we have got current anti-competitive regulations and legislations and provisions. By saying that there's big boys cutting, you know, unreasonable their prices, do you suggest that our regulations and provisions are not adequate, or are they not properly implemented? You know, the competition authorities don't do their job. What do you say on that one? That's the first one. And then secondly, with regards to barber shops, and obviously getting the best value for money to the consumer, as you've indicated, I think there's an economic principle. If the cheaper you buy, the cheaper you can sell. And obviously there's also a principle of scale of economies. So in other words, where does the barber shop owner buy if he doesn't buy from your wholesalers? Where must he buy from? Now, a wholesaler per se cannot be a small business owner. It's a big business. Now, if you don't have mergers and acquisitions to grow to get cheaper products to the retailer and the end consumer, isn't this not a vicious circle that you find yourself in? Is that you want the one piece of the circle, but you don't want the other piece, but you have to have the whole wheel. And suddenly you say, you know, we want as cheap as possible, but we don't want the big guys who provide it for us as cheap as possible. How do you reconcile that? And obviously that implicates on mergers, where a merger is a thing that happens anywhere in the world, in South Africa, where two companies get together because they can't produce a product or a service at a competitive rate or price anymore. So only by merging, they can get scale of economies and they can get it at a best price to the consumer. Isn't this contradictory? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair, the point I'm making, some are comments and some are questions. I think in South Africa, the reality that we face is that there's a huge gap between the haves and the have-nots, and that we're still struggling to close the gap that was opened by apartheid in terms of separating people according to color, I mean economically. So that when you speak of big business, on the main, you find it still reflects the way South Africa was designed by apartheid principles. So I'm saying this because whatever measures we take, they must be done in such a manner that they close or narrow that gap so that these that are at the lowest of the ladder are helped to rise up. But they must also be protected if there's a way of protecting them against big predators that are just coming to swallow everything else. Because what we must avoid is a South Africa of consumers and not producers. We must also ask ourselves and say, are you a producer or are you only a consumer? So that when we talk of measures and acquisitions, is it South Africans that are implementing these? Because if it is, especially if it is small business coming together, then that's one great thing. But if it merely means a replacement of the small business that is existing, then we are in trouble as a country. But the other issue, noting that you're emphasizing on the small business, is it not that opportunities are lost where small business tend to act too individualistically, so that even when they go to the market that you talk of, where they must get a huge stock, instead of sending one big truck and contribute for the fuel of that truck, they each follow one another, and then as a result, their prices become too high. The last one is that what should be done to encourage that the circulation of money stays within the small business area for as long as possible, so that townships and rural areas are not just places where money is made quickly and that money runs out with too high a velocity to the established rich places. Then a comment that whatever we do, we must say monopoly, where a person comes in as in a monopolistic manner. If possible, it must be reduced or avoided. Thanks, colleague.
Thank you, Mr. Navasaman.
In the presentation, there's mention of small businesses being the backbone of the economy. And further down, it talks about predatory pricing, whereby small businesses will be doomed to close. If this predatory pricing takes place continuously, what do you think will happen to the economy of South Africa?
Okay, thank you. Can you respond, Mr. Mamanu, please?
Thank you. To the member from Limpopo, if I may refer to you as that first.
Then Chabele.
Your honorary member. From a marketing point of view, I think the point you made was critical. Spaza shops must be treated as any other. They must be businesses, and they need to compete with each other according to what we as a country have aspired to for our economy. And you're right, they need their own brochures. We create pamphlets, we create brochures. This is a Spaza brochure. This is what they get. The prices are competitive and it can be done. It is not unrealistic. Number two, sir, the supply chain, the low prices and the low supply. These are two areas where Mass or Walmart are extremely functional and good at. They drop prices extremely low. It's a predatory price issue. The question is, are they assisting the man in the street with lower prices, or are they driving out competition? That is the question we are putting on the table today. It's a double-edged sword. The small businessman cannot sustain dropping his prices, in an answer to your question, madam. He cannot. So if there is an intention to provide a product at a certain price for the purpose of giving a good return to the consumer, that is one issue. If it's the intention to go into an area and wipe out all competition, that's another issue. And that is the debate that we must have. On the question of closing the circle, it's actually not inconceivable, sir, to group a number of Spaza shops, and it can be any number. And again, I go back to Limpopo. If you take a village like Nebo or Kambalakani or Marble Hall, for that instance, there are literally hundreds of villages that surround that one node of Jane First. Each village can have two or three Spaza shops. It's not inconceivable for them to own their own distribution center. The suppliers, the Tiger Foods, the Unilevers, the Reckitts of this world can deliver directly to those central distributions which the sponsor shop owners will own themselves through a cooperative. It can be done. So that will then have supply directly from the big suppliers. They need not go to cash and carry. They need not need anybody else. They must have control of that almost production themselves. It's important for their knowledge, it's important for their training, it's important for their future. That they have all spheres right across the spectrum of business. Coming to Mr. Mabasa and the velocity of money, unless there is economic activity within an area, it will remain barren. It is critical that people earn money and spend money in the areas that they live in. Again, go back to the question of malls. Malls have not helped the townships at all. Any mall in any area has got stock exchange listed companies in it. That money at the end of the day gets deposited in Sandton. It does not remain in Soweto. And that is a problem. There is no growth. If you look at a town like Umtata, how many businesses are there in the central districts of Umtata? If you go to the township in Gagaliswe, there isn't even one fruit vendor. Nothing. He's obliterated. He's dead. There is nothing in Gagaliswe. Nothing. But Umtata, 5 kilometers away, is a thriving metropolis of business. It's a disaster. I think I've covered the questions. Can I just tell you those again, please? So the low prices and the low supplies?
Yeah, and the competition authorities, you know, the
exactly.
Regulations and that we have got. Is that not effective? Or?
No, I've got a question. I think I found it. First of all, on the question of the legalities. Unfortunately, I'm not qualified to answer that question. I'm not too sure what avenues are open to business people to fight and to check on those practices. I don't have an answer for that. As far as the pricing is concerned and suppliers, Walmart are known, and it's happened in a short space of time that they've been here, that suppliers are pressurized to reduce prices to them. There's a Walmart price. There's a thing called the Walmart price. That's not accessible to anybody else because we're too small. They can send it to a central distribution center and they demand those prices. That is unfair. Okay, please give it to me again.
Mr. Mara, can you assist in the question that
quite clearly. I've asked the competition authorities, we've got legislation for unfair competition practices. We've got regulations, we've got, you know, there are many avenues we know about many, many cases before the Competition Commission and the Tribunal of Unfair Competition, not only mergers, but unfair competition. Price cutting, or you know, it can also be interpreted as an unfair competitive action and behavior. And my question was, do you think that those are just not good enough, the legislation and the authorities that we've got, or that, are they not just doing their job? Or is there suggestions how to improve that? Because I mean, these are a lot of allegations that float around and when it comes to the legal entity, she said you don't really know, but you're making a lot of allegations in that regard, so you must be able to substantiate, because we've got a framework, and we've got competition authorities in place, who in our opinion are doing a good job.
What we're trying to find out through Mr. Mare is Are you knowledgeable of the existing laws that are meant to assist small businesses to prosper and also to protect the small business against uncompetitive behavior? Do you have a knowledge of such? If yes, are they, do you think they are effective? They are effectively implemented? If not, what do you think can be done to improve? That's how I understand the question there.
Thank you. The bottom line is, let's assume all these laws are in place and all very well and good. The effectiveness or the practicality of going down to see a lawyer and putting a complaint in and going through the whole red tape of fighting because the price is seemed to or deemed to be uncompetitive is a long road to do. It's easy to see when a price is uncompetitive. People in the industry, and there are certain KVIs, we all know what they are. We know what those prices are. And you can see when they've been discounted beyond the point that they should be doing. It's clear to be seen. Do I have the time to sit down with a firm of attorneys and accuse Walmart of uncompetitive prices? No. I've got too many other things to do.
No. The question doesn't relate. It's a general question, Mr. Mangal. It's a general question, whether, and very straightforward, and I would really want you to respond to that question directly. So that, you know, we already over the time that we had allocated for ourselves.
I don't think I'm qualified to answer it because I do not know what the rules are for uncompetitive pricing and what to do in the event that I find one.
Okay, so you're not aware of this. Any other question? They said you didn't answer the question around monopoly. Would you mind repeating that, Mr. Mabasa, just for the time of, for the sake of time?
No, I was saying that in general, countries that are successful economically are those countries where there are many players, especially small business. And countries where monopoly is the order of the day usually end up slumping economically. It's a comment that where I wanted to find out if the gentleman agrees with me. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. I would certainly support the notion that the more businesses there are, the better. The question of there being one big player in a country and a lot of small, tiny, little players, especially bearing in mind the background that we come from, I find it very difficult, and it's a very hard road for us.
Thank you very much, Mr. Manga. Now, Dennis, you can hear that I'm finding it difficult to pronounce your surname. You must be. Yeah. It's very clear from your presentation that there's a lot that you do not, for instance, have. You don't have enough information, or you're not exposed to most of, you know, the programs government has put in place in trying to intervene, especially in helping small businesses. And as a very important role player in the economy, people who are trying to really help while doing business, I think it is advisable that you acquaint yourself as much as possible with the laws, but you can't be a player and not understand the rules of the game. You need to understand. As members are trying to, you know, probe, they are pushing you towards, you know, trying to understand your understanding of certain policies and laws. It was quite clear that you're not familiar with them, and I would then request that you familiarize yourself, especially that you're trying to uplift the standard of living of the rural people, especially the most vulnerable, the squatter shops. It is important that you also are aware of South African micro APEX fund, which is really, it's an intervention by government to try and assist them, especially that you are in the cooperative sector. Because for you to be able to play a meaningful role, you must be able to educate people. And you must also educate yourself first. That's the appeal from ourselves, because we have benefited a lot from this presentation, and we are also hoping to benefit even more through you by telling us as to what is it that is working for you, what is it that is not working for you, not by assuming, but through practical situations. And we are happy that you brought those lines, because they are quite, they're giving hope that there is life at the end of the tunnel. We want to thank you very much for your presentation and coming. Members and people in the house, may I then call for a break, a lunch break? We were supposed to go for lunch at after 12. It's now, according to my watch, 10 to 1. Can we go for lunch until, maybe take 45 minutes if it's fine with you?
Yes.
Members? Those are the only people who can decide at the moment, unfortunately. You agree? Okay. Thank you very much. May we then come back at